God believes in repetition, and we're going to be studying out of 1 Chronicles chapter 13, as well as some other Bible text. We've been working our way through the Old Testament, book by book, sharing a sermon each week out of those books, and at times, as I've mentioned previously, it becomes very difficult to try to summarize the book, or even to try to draw the most popular story out of the book. But I'd like to share with you today that idea from this book that God believes in repetition. And God believes in repetition because He knows that it's through things being repeated that we learn. And God has provided certain Bible truths to be repeated over and over. God knows that the unconverted heart is untrusting and questioning. God knows that converted men and women of faith need to hear and must hear the truth repeated over and over. If not, we forget it or we miss out on the details of truth. God knows that there is a war going on and the demonic powers of Satan attacks and harasses the remnant people of God. In Ephesians 6:12, the Apostle Paul reminds us that we are in a great controversy, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. I've come to the conclusion that I will never know all that God knows. But God repeats the things in Scripture that's necessary for me to know, to be saved, and to be ready for the kingdom. God knows He wants the best for you in this life and in the life to come. God knows the multitude of ways that He uses to touch our mind and to bring conviction. God may even be saddened when we fail to appreciate what He's doing for us. He repeats His desires, His joys, His plans, His promises. They are important to God, and they also should be important to us. Satan's plan is to cause us to doubt and to question God and what God does, and also what God doesn't do, but what God allows to happen. In 1 Chronicles chapter 13, Thomas read here the story that brings up so many questions. And to me, the answer to this story is a repeat of my sermon here a couple of weeks ago. If you remember the famine that came to the land of Israel, and it had not rained for 3 years. God's people suffered. Little children died. It was a terrible time of suffering. But we learned that through that suffering, thousands of other people came or could come to a knowledge of the mighty work of God as the Savior. The land had been polluted by idols. Something drastic had to be done. And so, even though I don't understand the theology, I believe in God's providence. And in God's way of working, He felt it better that a few people suffer and thousands more people be saved for eternity. Now that part makes sense. Here in this particular story, I believe, of Uzzah touching the ark, there's some details left out in the story, but there's a tremendous lesson here for every one of us. And the lesson is in repetition. The story here has a background. The Ark of the Covenant, that most important piece of furniture in the earthly sanctuary that contained the Ten Commandments, it contained Aaron's staff that had sprouted and so forth. That most important Ark of the Covenant had been about 9 miles away from Jerusalem for 20 years or more. And David decides it's time to restore Jerusalem back as the holy city, as the capital. And what greater thing could he do for God than to bring that ark back to Jerusalem? It's been under the care of these two men for most of that time, if not all of the 20 years. And here in 1 Chronicles 13, it kind of tells us what happened. It was in concert and beautiful orchestration that different types of music were being played. If you read in verse 8, it says, "Then David and all of Israel played music before God with all their might, with singing and on harps and on stringed instruments and tambourines and cymbals and with trumpets." I forget how many thousand people were involved in this ceremony of transporting the Ark of the Covenant that 9 miles to Jerusalem. Everything was going as planned until verse 9. Verse 9 says, "And when they came to Chidon's threshing floor, the most unthinkable happened. The oxen began to shake that were pulling the cart." My Bible says they stumbled. It appeared to Uzzah that the ark was going to fall off the cart. And he stuck out his hand to embrace the ark on the cart to keep it from falling. Immediately, he fell dead. And this is the problem. When we read this story, that just makes God out to be the meanest God. Why would God strike this man dead so quickly and so suddenly for doing what he thought was right in supporting the ark and keeping it safe? Well, God's repeating some things here. I don't understand the theology. Maybe you do. And maybe the theology itself is a little twisted that I'm talking about. But just reason with me. It appears that God overreacted, that he was killed for only touching the ark. Don't you believe it? This is not the kind of God that we serve. There's more to the story. I should have known this, but I learned this week. The ark is not supposed to be transported on carts. And I got this idea from Tim, of all places, in prayer meeting last Wednesday evening. In the book of Numbers is very explicit instructions that some of the articles in the sanctuary, the setting up of the sanctuary and the transporting, they could use carts and wagons. But when they were to transport this piece of furniture, God says, "I want it carried on the shoulders of Levite priests." God said that's the only way it's to be carried because it is holy. Did Uzzah know that? Did David understand God's directive? I think so. But in the process of time, that which was holy has become so familiar that it had ceased to become or remain holy. Can I read you a quote out of the commentary? It says, since Uzzah had exercised supervisory care of the ark while it was in their home, the responsibility of transferring it to Jerusalem was now placed in their charge. All right, well, he's been taking care of it for about 20 years. I'd say that would make it very common. But it mattered to God that it was not considered to be common. Uzzah and Ahab, they could think whatever they wanted to about the ark, but it did not change how God thought about the ark. That which God had said should be holy was supposed to be holy. I believe that what Uzzah and David and the other priests and the leaders of all the tribes were thinking was common in their day. Nobody raised their voice and said, we're doing this wrong. God has said it is supposed to be carried on the shoulders of Levite priests. And even though we have a new cart, we're not doing this God's way. David probably was aware that the Philistines had carried the ark on a cart. They had no problem with it there on a cart, but you have to remember they are ignorant of everything that God wanted. A lot of things that are holy become unholy. Just because we think it is unholy. I love my iPhone. And I love the concordance that's on my phone. Just so quickly, I began to read all the things in Scripture that are mentioned as holy. You should do it sometime. It just might be that some of us here have looked at things which God says are holy, but we have decided it's no longer holy. Two things that stand out. Well, I've got a long list here. One of them is the tithe. I challenge you to do your own study of tithing. And if after your study you have a question about the tithe being holy, I wish you would talk to me. Just like the Sabbath, God says it is my holy day, God says that the tithe is my tithe. I was reminded this week in my study and preparation that the people of Israel, in adding up the tithe and the offerings that they were required to donate, it would have equaled about 25% of their income. God set it up that way. He wanted them to live on the edge so that he could prove to them that he is the mighty God of heaven and he would bless those who would just follow his instruction. God says the Sabbath is holy. It's my holy day. I broke the Sabbath this morning with Thomas, and I'm sorry. I did it so quickly, I don't know what I was thinking. You know, I admire people who drink water all the time. God bless each and every one of you. I think I'll get me a real nice expensive water bottle like you got and carry it around, then I can drink from it. I just love people who drink water that way. He had a thermos out there, and I told him a joke about when the thermos was first invented. I shouldn't have done that. That's breaking the holiness of the Sabbath day. Even though it was a good joke and it was funny, it was levity uncalled for in the house of God and even on the Sabbath. It's so easy to do this. There's text after text that describe the holiness of the sanctuary service and of worship. And I've learned that the topic of reverence is a hot topic among Seventh-day Adventists. Some people will fight you over reverence in the sanctuary. You don't receive many verbal bouquets when you start discussing reverence in the sanctuary. And depending on your religious background, that influences your idea of reverence. I tell you what is wrong in the sanctuary. And I could start with joke telling. But jesting and laughing and secular conversation, it is unholy and it is wrong. My personal views are not the exact views of everyone here, and that's okay. I believe a greeting, short and sweet, and with a handshake and a smile, or even a side hug at times, is appropriate. What do you think? God's name is holy. The Redeemer is holy. These scriptures are holy. We have a holy covenant, where God says, if you do this, I will do that for you. The angels of God are holy. I got into a heated discussion the other day, and I'm so sorry about it. I believe the vegan diet is the best diet. But I can't cook that way. I guess I could learn. But we are admonished in Romans 12:1 to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. And the next word is holy. Can you tell me the next word? Acceptable unto God. Ephesians 1:4 tells us that we are to be holy and to be blameless. But it's so easy for us to take that which is common and make it It is so easy for us to take that which is supposed to be holy, and because of what we think, we bring it down to our level and it becomes common and unholy. It does matter what we eat and what we drink and what we listen to and what we read and what we see and all of that. It influences us greatly. But God wants the best for us. God wanted the best for Uzzah. He wanted the best for the children of Israel. For those thousands of people there marching in that holy convocation, transporting the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem, God wanted the best of them, but they were taking that which was holy and making it common. And Uzzah, by his own act, he was saying, I don't believe God says this is holy. I'm going to do it my way. And in open rebellion, he was in a position he should have known. He's not even supposed to touch the ark. It's not supposed to be uncovered. They are not to even look inside of it. But filled with his own idea of the holiness of God, he changes God's law and does his own thing, and in consequence, he dies because of it.